Now we come to a heartbreak in the story of Josiah. Great revival, and it was at the end of this kingdom. They'll be in captivity. We'll see that today. And God moved in a mighty way, just one great wave here at the end, to reveal the fact that he can send revival in the most difficult and dark days. But what ended the revival? Well, this is what ended the revival. Verse 28. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Well, what about him? Well, let's listen. Verse 29. In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. Now, my thought would be, Josiah, you keep your nose out of that fight. That's not your fight. You don't enter into it. But he entered into it. And King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. Now, you see, he should have stayed home. One time, you remember, David should not have stayed home. He should have gone to the battle, and he got in trouble. Now Josiah should stay home. This is not his fight. And he goes out. And what happens? He's slain at Megiddo. By the way, that is where, not the battle, but the war of Armageddon will be fought in the last days. That is, that's where it's consummated, apparently, in that great valley of Esdraelon there at the hill of Megiddo. Now, this man Josiah, great man of God, but he did something rather foolish. He should not have gone out and entered a war. Say, that might be a message for another nation I know about. I'm afraid that we have meddled throughout the world today. May I say that we need to recognize that the only message that America has for the world today is not democracy, but it is the Word of God. And my friend, we were blessed when we were sending out the Word of God. And when we're sending out the propaganda that we send out, we're an immoral nation. God's not in it at all. And we're not being blessed today. And as a result, why, this is a great lesson, I think, for us. Josiah should have stayed home. This wasn't his fight. Verse 30, and his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, buried in his own sepulcher, and the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him, made him king in his father's stead. Well, you'd think now this boy that's coming to the throne, he'll follow in his father's footsteps, but he did not. He's an evil king, by the way, and he really is a bad one. Fact of the matter is, he didn't get the throne warm sitting on it. He didn't last but 3 months. Verse 31, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And we find again the mother of these kings is mentioned. And then we find that he didn't last very long. Pharaoh didn't like the way he was reigning, and he removed him from the throne and took him down into the land of Egypt, and he died down there. And we read in verse 34, and Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah's father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. Now, he put the brother of this man on the throne, Jehoiakim, and he reigned 11 years, but he's an evil king. Verse 37, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. Now, you see, we go from bad to worse. Jehoahaz was bad. Jehoiakim is even worse. Now there's a great power rising in the east on the Euphrates River, and that is Babylon. And Babylon is displacing Assyria. In fact, Babylon overcame Assyria. And Babylon will overcome Egypt, by the way, and become the first great world power. We get that in the book of Daniel later on. And it's right at this point that we actually ought to turn and read Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was the great prophet during this era. And he was the one that was calling this nation back to God and warning them that if they didn't turn to God, that they would be taken captive and be sent to Babylon. And this just seemed unbelievable, because at this time, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was not quite this formidable. And they couldn't believe it. And the false prophets were telling the nation that God just couldn't get along without them, that the temple of God was there, the city of God was there, the nation of God was there. Well, God had to have them. He just couldn't get along without them. They found out he could get along without them. Actually didn't need that temple, to tell the truth. And it is going to be destroyed.